Okay. So we're holding in chapter 4 of Sefer Shoftim, and we're just approaching now, we just really got into the beginning of the battle, the actual battle with Sisera. So I think we're going to start from Pasuk Yud Gimel, just to get back into it. Vayazik Sisera es kol richbo, and Sisera mustered all of his chariots. Shameyot Rechev Barzel, 900 iron chariots. The Eskola Amasher Ito, and all of the nation along with him. We mentioned that this was part of the miracle that he brought, even though he didn't need such a large force, he brought them anyways. Necharoshes Hagoyim al Nachal Kishon, from Charoshes Hagoyim, from his city to Nachal Kishon. Vatomer Devorah al Barak, and Devorah said to Barak, Kum, get up! Kizeh hayom, for today is the day asher nasang Hashem es Sisera biyadecha, that Hashem has given Sisera into your hands. Hello Hashem yatsa lefanecha, Yod Hashem has gone out before you. Vayered Barak mehar tavor, and Barak went down from upon the har tavor, he went down from his strategic position, so that nobody would say that Hashem can only win battles from the tops of mountains, from strategic positions.
Or maybe he was using his strategic position.
Vaseres alafim ish acharav, and there were 10,000 men following him. It's a good point. That's probably the pashat pshat.
The 10,000 men were already on the plane or something like that, getting ready to do battle?
No. He was on top of the mountain, and according to the shot, he charged down the mountain, which
with
is part
the 10,000 men, right?
Right, that's right. He charged down the mountain, which is part of the resist if you're coming
attack
up the mountain.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, Pasuk Tezva, Vayoha, Hashem es Sisera, Veskola Rechev, Veskola Machaneh, Lifi Cherev, and Hashem caused Sisera and all of his chariots and his camp to panic. Lifi Cherev, Lifnei Barak, from the sword of Barak, Vayered Sisera mi'ala merkava, and Sisera got down from his chariot, Vayanas beraglav, and he fled on his feet. The simple approach again, Lifi Cherev, they panicked because of the sword, right? Was, as Mr. Zapper saying, because of the army charging them with swords. Now, it is, I guess, noteworthy that, very nice that there's 10,000 men charging down with swords, but they were all on
probably
foot.
Spears.
Spears.
Because if you have a spear in front of you, you can stop a horse that's trying to charge up the mountain.
Uh-huh.
It can't come very fast.
So we'll see. I think there may be a mention of a spear in the Shira, I think. But we'll see, I guess, when we get there.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But here the project says, Lifi Cherev.
It's a concept that is so weird. There's no mention of spear in the Tanakh except by
Pinchas?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I thought I recall that in the Shira we have the word Roma, the word spear, but I may be wrong, and therefore you would be right, or I may be right, and therefore you would be wrong. But I guess we'll find out when we get there.
You can't stop a horse with a sword.
All right. So
I think it was from whatever, that's the only use
of that word. Okay, I guess we'll see.
Now, there may be a different word for spear.
So the Malbim says that the reason why Sisera's army panicked was not just because of a bunch of people charging with swords, but rather there was a Hashem made a nace that they heard chariots and horses, and it sounded like a large army approaching. And
10,000, that's a lot of men.
Yeah, but I think they were going up against a much larger force. I think Sisera's force, first of all, it started with 900 chariots.
Yeah,
so,
but 900 chariots can be pretty well overwhelmed by 10,000 people.
I'm assuming that along with that, I'm assuming, based on what we've seen, that along with the 900 chariots was a larger force than 10,000.
Right.
That's just the implication.
Right. But yeah, okay.
They must have had a larger force, so they wouldn't try to attack upwards.
Exactly.
There's a little receipt.
So,
yeah.
And Sisera, sensing this, takes off on foot. Now, it's interesting that the Malbim is the one that gives this interpretation, because the Malbim already told us back when it said that in Pasuk Yud, it says, Vaya'al biragla v'aseres alfei ish, and 10,000 men went at his feet, as in simply understood means that, and 10,000 men followed Barak, so the Malbim said, but simply understood it also means, and that they were on foot, and that the Pasuk is trying to bring out, right, that they were infantry, that they were 10,000 foot soldiers going up against 900 chariots. So now the Malbim, sort of Lishi Tasso, is saying that there was this great miracle, although they were all on foot, but there was this great noise that made it sound like they had, you know, a formidable army of chariots and horses causing Sisera and his forces to scatter and take off.
There's something here also sounds a little bit like there was some sort of a dispute going on. Some sort of a family dispute.
Okay, so we're gonna get there.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Is this the same mountain upon which Shaul and Jonathan died?
I don't know. This is Har Tavor. I'm not familiar with where they died.
I've seen this mountain. It's quite steep.
Ah.
So if you have 10,000 infantry and they're charging downhill with spears,
yeah,
they can really frighten some horses.
So why does it translate the word in there? To say swords or spears?
Well, it definitely means
sword. They don't say either.
It says lifti cherev by sword. Cherev means sword.
Where is this? Oh, well, it says held by the edge of the sword, right?
Okay.
Is that the verse you mean?
No.
Yeah, but that's
15,
poetic, right? That's
15.
Not. Yeah, that doesn't mean there were no spears.
It may be a different use here, but I was telling Rabbi Schaps here, I don't remember, I guess it was by Pinchas and Kazi and Zimri. She said that it said Romach, spear, that's the only use of Romach in the whole Tanakh.
Okay.
At least of the word. It doesn't necessarily mean that a spear was
proof
never used.
That they did not have a spear, but that is the word.
The only use of
that word for
Romach.
Spear.
Yeah.
Shaul threw a spear. Right?
There's an interesting caveat here once we get into it, where it talks about the panic.
Yes.
And the panic caused them to attack each other.
Huh.
That's an opinion by Rashi.
Okay.
All right, well, anyway, I'm sure you'll get into it.
Very good. Okay.
It's better, so swords fits in better with the fact that it was a mace than if there was fear. The spear is making it more man-made.
Right.
The point is that it was a mace.
Okay.
It was definitely a mace. No question about that.
Right.
But the results were disastrous for Sisera.
Yes.
Okay. Pasuk Tes Zion. Uvarak radaf acharei harechev v'acharei hamachaneh, and Barak chased after the chariot and after the camp. Ad Haroshes Hagoyim, he chased them all the way back to where they had come from, back to Haroshes Hagoyim, right? The panicked army of Sisera is on the run. Vayipol kol machane Sisera v'tichareb, and the entire camp of Sisera fell by sword. Lo nishar ad echad, not a single one remained. What? Except for Sisera, right. The Sisera, he was already gone. The Sisera nas biraglav, and Sisera ran on his feet, al ohel Yael, to the tent of Yael, eshes chever hakeni, the wife of Hever the Cainy, the descendant of Yisro, Ki Shalom ben Yavin Melech Chatzor ben Beit Hever HaCainy, because there was peace between Yavin, the king of Chatzor, Yavin, the king, Sisra's king, and between the house of Hever the Cainy, so it was a good place to run to. I saw that someone pointing out, it says, Sisra nas beraglav, Sisra ran on his feet. That he ran with only his feet, without his head. He thought, he didn't think it true that this was a good place to, wasn't necessarily the best place to run to. Yael being a Jew, and wasn't necessarily the best place to run to, but the
wife of Hever?
Exactly.
Hever, was he Jewish?
He was, I don't know his exact status. He was a king. I mean, he was a descendant of Yisro. So I'm not sure where that places him exactly, but
okay.
I think they were sort of friendly with both the Jews and with the Canaanites.
The implication is that he was specifically aiming to go to her tent, or he
yes.
stumbled on it.
The implication is that he chose to go there because it was a Cainy, and
he thought
there was shalom. As the passage says, there was shalom.
It was like an embassy or something.
Right, so it's interesting. The Kliyakar tells us that he has some inference from the fact that it says in Sisra, it says twice that Sisra ran on his feet, right? It says in the previous pasuk, Vayanas Viraglov, or two pasukim ago, it says Vayanas Viraglov, and he fled on his feet. And now again, it repeats that he ran on his feet. Well, that was the other point then, you know, running with your feet and without your head. But so the Kliyakar says that we see from here that a person can't run from Hashem's decree. That even though, right, if Hashem decrees, you know, that this person is going to meet his end, then he can run all he wants. And he's only going to just run into the hands of his destruction.
And run away.
So,
he's running too.
Exactly. So he thought he was running away, but really, where was he running? He was running al Oho Yael. He was running to the tent of Yael, which is where he would meet his end. He thought he was running from, you know, to save himself, when really he was running to his death.
I should ask my granddaughter because she's named Yael.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that this is what the historic Yael is?
This is where the name comes from. Pasuk Yudches Vateitze Yael Likras Sisra, and Yael went out to greet Sisra. Vatomer Elav, and she said to him, Sura Adoni, step aside, my master. Sura Eli, step aside to me. Al Tira, do not be afraid. Vayasar Eleha Ha'oela, and he went aside to her, to the tent. Vatichaseu Bas Semicha, and she covered him up with a semicha, which seems to be some sort of coat.
Translated here is blanket.
A blanket, okay. So she covered him to hide him under there. We'll come back to that in a moment. Vayomer Eleha, and she said to him, Hashkini na me'at mayim kitzameisi, and he said to her, give me some water, please, because I am thirsty. Vatitach es noda chalav, and she opened up the thermos, the skin of milk. Vatashkeyu, and she gave him milk to drink instead of the water he requested. Vatichaseyu, and she covered him again. So she gave him milk, a thick drink, something that would make him tired. Vayomer Eleha, and he said to her, Amod Pesach Ohel, stand by the entrance of the tent, V'haya, and it will be in Ish Yavo, if a man will come, U'she'elech, and he'll ask you, the Amar, and he'll say, Hayesh Po Ish, are there any men here? Is there any man here? The Amar, Ayin, and you should tell him no. So, again, his instruction is, if they ask, if there's a man here, tell them no. So he doesn't just say, if they ask if I am here, tell them no. He says if they ask if there's any man here. So So the only thing I've said gives an interesting stat in why he, that was his request. Again, he makes an assumption which we commentators often do, which was that the non-Jews had some awareness of Jewish practice and law, and he was aware, at least, that she would not seclude herself with a man. I mean, and, you know, it's also sort of a logical, a religious woman. She wouldn't seclude herself with a man. So therefore, he specifically said, if they ask you if there's a man here, tell them no, because if there's no man here, if your husband isn't here, if you're, you know, if someone who you would be allowed to be with isn't here, then certainly you wouldn't be here alone with me.
Right.
And so that way they won't even consider coming in to check. If you tell them there's no man here, that not even your husband is home, so then they're not even gonna come in to look for me.
How religious could she be if she was intermarried?
So I don't know exactly what the state of that marriage was. What?
Whether he had converted or not.
Who, Chaver Yisro or Chaver?
Chaver.
Okay, I'm not. I didn't see anything specific about this topic. Right. So I don't know what the status of the Kaini are. If they have.
Kaini.
Yeah, he wasn't a Canaanite. He was a descendant of Yisro. Yisro converted.
Maybe a convert, but not a religious one. Let's put it that way.
So I don't know the exact status of the Kaini. I didn't look into it, but I'm going to assume that this was a permitted union, based on how we speak about Yael as being a great tzaddikah.
Right.
So
that would imply that
yeah.
He did convert.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily just him. I'm saying the whole nation, I think, would fall under the status of permitted people that were permitted to marry. Vatikach pasuk chaf aleph. Vatikach Yael eshes chever, and Yael the wife of chever took. Es yisad ha'ohel, the peg of the tent, batasim esam ha'keves b'yada, and she placed the hammer in her hand, batavo elo balat, and she came to him, she approached Sisra very quietly, secretly, batiska es hayased b'rak haso, and she smashed in the peg into his temple. The word rakoso, temple, from the word rake, which means empty, because it's empty of, I don't know, flesh or bone there.
It's a very thin part of the skull. That's why gangsters like to kill people there.
And that's why she did it there also.
True.
Vatitznach ba'aret, and it set into the ground. It seems it went all the way through his head.
It must have really hit him with some force.
Vehu nirdam, and he was sleeping while she did this. Vayaf, and he was very tired, and that's what allowed her to do this. Vayamos, and he died. It's interesting that you say, right, that she must have done it with a lot of force. So the Malbim says it was actually a nace that she was able to do this, that she had that strength to lift the hammer. I think he's coming from a diuk.
It says
I think because it's, yeah.
She said that in the comments are saying that she was apparently doing some work on the tent to begin with.
Okay.
That's why she had the hammer nearby and the tent pin. She was doing this. This is a robot. Does that use a sword or another weapon? Let's see.
So I think the word that.
However, with the hammer and pin, it would seem as if she was repairing the tent.
Okay. So I think that the album is coming off Batiskaya Sayased, the Rakoso. Again, although I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he's coming from to make that assumption. Sounds like he's coming from an inference, but I don't see it myself. Dehine Barak Rodef at Sistra.
I gave it, so the whole thing there with the other activity that you did, the Avengers.
We're going to get to that.
We'll get to that
in a minute.
So you're not skipping over
it. No, I'm not skipping over it. Dine Barak rodef es Sistra, and Barak was chasing after Sistra. Vatek se Yael hikraso, and Yael goes out of the tent. She has, you know, Sistra lying dead in her tent. She goes out and finds Barak on the road. Vatomer lo, and she says to him, Lech ver eka, go and I will show you es ha'ish asher ata v'vakesh, the man that you are seeking. Vayavo eleha, and she came to him. Dine Sistra nofel meis, sorry, and he came to her. Dine Sistra nofel meis, and behold, there was Sistra fallen dead. Vayasid barakaso, and the peg was through his temple. Pasuk chaf gimel. Vayachna Elokim bayomahu es Yavin melech Kenan, and Hashem lowered, weakened on that day, Yavin, the king of Canaan, Lifnei B'nai Yisrael, Yisrael B'nai Yisrael, that day, Yisrael, the Jewish people achieved a great victory against the Canaanites on that day. And the last pasuk in the parak, Vatelech Yad B'nai Yisrael Haloch V'kasha, and the hand of B'nai Yisrael continued to go hard al Yavin Melech Canaan, against Yavin, the king of Canaan, Ad Asher Yisrisu, until they had cut off, destroyed Ace Yavin Melech Canaan, Yavin the king of Canaan. As in the, on that day they had a great victory, the previous verse was saying, and now in this verse it's telling us that they continue to fight them after that, and eventually B'nai Yisrael achieved victory, and then were able to live in peace for the rest of Devorah's time as the leader. So let's turn back a little bit to Yael again. And let's go back to this pasuk Yudches. Yudches 18. So in that verse, it mentions Vatichaseu bas simicha, and she covered him with a coat or a blanket. So we're gonna hold that for a minute, and the next parak, the next chapter, is going to be the song that Devorah sings, the victory song, and we're going to learn a lot about the story from her song. From, you know, certain things that she says will tell us, you know, fill in some gaps in the story. So one of the sukkim that we're going to discuss is about Yael. And it says, it's Pasuk Chaf Dalet, it says, Tivorach minashim Yael. Yael is more blessed than any woman. Eshes Chever HaKeni, the wife of Chever the Keni. Minashim ba'ohel Tivorach. And again, it seems to repeat the same idea that from all other women in the tent, she is more blessed. So, the Gemara in Maseches Nazir, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Gidola Aveira Lishma mi mitzvah shalo lishma. An Aveira done Lishma, for God's intent, for God, is greater than a mitzvah done shalo lishma that's not done for God's sake. Good question. So let's see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, "Dichtiv," as the pasuk says, "Tivorach minashim Yael." Yael is more blessed than any woman. Eish es chaver akeni minashim ba'al tivorach. So man nashim sheba ohel. Who are these women of the tent that she's more blessed than the women of the tent? So the Gemara says, it's Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. She's more blessed than Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. That's the women of the tent. That's what the verse, that's what the Devorah is saying in her song.
To
the matriarch.
Time when they lived. Oh, I see.
So the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva be'ilus ba'al osa rasha be'osa shah. that wicked person, that wicked man, Sisera, had relations with Yael 7 times at that event, at that time. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Bein Ragleha Kara Nafal Shachav. So learns it also from another verse in the Shira, in the song, where it says that between her legs he bent, implies that they had relations, and that was the Aveira Lishma that she did, that she seduced him in order to weaken him, in order to be able to kill him. And the Gemara praises her for this action, and
they were triple exhausted. He ran, which is so horrific, and he had relations with him 7 times. So he was triple exhausted.
That's not necessarily true, because here's the quote from the...
So that's what the Gemara says, and...
here's something else from... Turn, is my Lord turned into me? She repeated it when she saw he was hesitant. This comes from Masuda David. She enticed him and coaxed him.
Very good.
Now, what says with the garment, the Targum... Renders which Rav Chai Gaon explains a garment. Another definition as a blanket may be found in Leviticus. Right, it says that, Rabbi.
Okay, where are you going with this?
Well, there's a whole argument for the fact that he didn't do that.
That's what it says?
Yeah. It further quotes Reish Lakish, saying that the word is constructed from the word Kosmo, I guess God's name, is here to attest that Sisera had not had relations.
Okay,
with
so we're gonna get there. Okay, we're gonna get there. But it's like
a clear Gemara. Well, I know the Gemara says so, but then there's this other.
So we're gonna get there.
On it. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a Gemara in Nazir. And. And the Gemara tells us that we learn from this verse in the song Kara Nafal that he bent between her legs that she had relations in order to weaken him, and that was the Aveira Lishma, that was an Aveira done but for the sake of heaven, because it was necessary, it was an ace of Asos, it was needed at this time in order to be able to destroy him, in order to completely finish off the army, take out the leader. Another question that has to be dealt with is why, you know, if the rest of the army was destroyed, why was it so important to destroy him, to kill Sisera? Could be that she didn't know that the rest of the army was destroyed. That's probably the simplest answer. That's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Rabbi Yochanan says that's what she did. She weakened him. So what you were referring to was a different chazal. And there's another chazal which the Radak actually quotes. I think this one's a Medrash Vayikra Rabba. And that's why I started with these words Vatichaseu Bas Tamicha, and she covered him with the Tamicha, with the blanket, and the Medrash Vayikra Rabba darshins this word smicha. It says that Reish Lakish says, I've searched through all of Tanakh and I've never found such a word. This word smicha cannot be found anywhere else in Tanakh. So what is this word trying to tell me? So he says smicha should be read with a shin, shimi ko. My name is here. Shemi ko, my name is here. Meaning to say, says the Radak, my name is here. Hashem says, my name is here on Yael, testifying that Sisera did not touch Yael. That's how the Radak interprets this Medrash. The Medrash says, Shemi ko, my name is here. Hashem says, I am here. My name is still on Yael. And the way that the Radak interprets that Medrash is, like you're saying, that that she did not, she had nothing to do with sister, she had no relation, and Hashem's name still rests on her. Now others argue on the Radak in interpreting that Medrash. The Be'er Sheva, quoted by the Mincha Shai over here, tells us that, no, really Reish Lakish agrees to Rabbi Yochanan that she had the relations with Sisra. They're not arguing about that. What was he saying? Why was he saying, what does it mean, Shemiko, my name is here? So it means that, exactly, since her kavana was for God's sake, and that was the right thing to do at that moment in time. Of course, you have to be on a great level to be able to determine that that's the proper course of action. But since that was necessary at that moment in order to weaken him, so Hashem says, Shemiko, my name is here, my name is still on Yael, because even though she did
this, absolving her of any wrongdoing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So those are two approaches to that.
Last week you were hinting at the fact, though, that because of her actions, that she was no longer able to continue her life with her
exactly.
husband.
So, which gets, right, yeah, so that's halacha, that since she decided to, right, even though it was necessary, it was needed at the moment, but since she initiated it, so she became forbidden on her husband.
Okay.
And that's why it said he would be sold. That's what the Meshech Chachma said. That's why it said he would be sold into her hands, that she would have to give something up for
to be able to
kill him.
It makes it even what she did even more.
Well,
so,
you mean later on?
No, because...
Oh, because of what her action was.
Maybe she knew what the results were going to be, and that
she...
She
may have known that... Was she considered to be a Navi herself?
I don't think so, but...
Not like Devorah, but...
No, I don't think she was.
But she had maybe Ruach HaKodesh?
Yeah, that's very, very possible. So I want to, in the time remaining, share an idea with you that ties into Rosh Hashanah, and it's also on this parak. Does anyone know the connection between this story and Rosh Hashanah?
No.
Pop quiz.
This story and Rosh Hashanah.
So it's really from, we didn't see it, it's really from the end of the Shira, but at the end of the Shira, the verse describes, it's chapter 5, Parakeh, Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28. So there the Pasuk says, it talks about the mother of Sisra. Devorah describes her I guess, a Ruach HaKodesh, a prophecy of what was going on at Sisra's house. And the Pasuk says, Be'ad HaChalon Nishkefa, at the window, she was looking out, Batayabed Aim Sisra, Be'ad HaEshnav, and the mother of Sisra was wailing. She was crying at the window. Madua Boshe Shirichbo Lavo, why has my son Sisra's chariot taken so long to return? Madua Echeru, why is it delayed? Pame Markevosev, why are the bells of his chariot delayed? She's worried about her son, Sisra.
So the shofar.
Very good.